The title for my homily today is The Tender-Hearted. We had a beautiful reading from the book of Sirach. Sirach is one of the last books of the Old Testament. It's the longest of what is called the wisdom literature. And this is that literature that tries to see how we understand and apply the wisdom of God to our daily lives. We heard about Elijah, and this came in the 48th chapter of the book of Sirach. But if you were to flip all the way back to Sirach 44, you would hear these words. Let us praise the deeds of famous men and women, although the women isn't there, but women are referenced. Let us praise the deeds of those who are famous. And then what happens from 44 to the end of chapter 49, it's the retelling of the whole of salvation history for the Jewish people. If you've never read that part of the book of Sirach, you might want to do that as a beautiful Advent devotion. It's stunningly beautiful writing. And so here we come to Elijah. Why is Elijah so important, not only in the Jewish imagination, but in the imagination of our Lord Jesus Christ? For a very simple reason. Elijah was the first of the Old Testament prophets. What did the Old Testament prophets do? They foretold the coming of the Holy One, the coming of the Messiah. So starting with Elijah and then all the way through to the last of the prophets, Malachi, they are those men who declare the coming of the Lord. And why is it that John the Baptist is referred to as Elijah? Well, as Jesus said, he is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Why? Well, if it's true that all of the prophets pointed to the coming of the Messiah, what did John the Baptist do? He was the prophet who said, he has now come. He is here. So, in a sense, John the Baptist is the one who fulfills everything that the Old Testament prophets were anticipating. And what was at the very heart of the ministry of John the Baptist? Well, for this, we're going to go to the very last verse of the last of the Old Testament prophets, Malachi. And listen to what we read at the very end of the book of Malachi. Elijah the prophet will come, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. There'll be a restoration within the family. Now, this is very interesting. Well, at least I think it's interesting, and I hope you will too. When we come to the gospel according to St. Luke, and the angel Gabriel comes and announces to Zechariah who his son will be, listen to what he says. And he will work in such a way that he will go forth in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children. Isn't that lovely? At the very heart of the work of John the Baptist was this work of turning the hearts of family members, fathers to children, children to fathers, to one another. And what did John the Baptist say? He said, repent. And what does repentance have to do with? It has to do with a change of heart. Now, as a pastor, I meet with people all the time. And one of the most painful stories that is told repeatedly is division in families. And I hear this particularly from those who would be grandparents. When they see the division that exists in their children's lives, children who are divorced, where some of the grandchildren are not speaking to one of the parents, and the deep sense of division that exists, this is something that is incredibly painful. And there might be some of you here this morning who know exactly what I am talking about. And here's the thing that happens. You see, without Jesus, without our understanding the Messiah, we have a tendency to become hard-hearted. We become embittered. We harbor resentment. And this is nowhere more evident than in families where it's harbored and it is continued and it embitters one person to another. If you have the Missalette, there's this great quote from St. Augustine who said this: resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Wow. Resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. What happened with Jesus? The heart of the Father in heaven was turned towards us on earth, so that in turn, our hearts could be turned to the Father. The older I get, the more I realize how central Jesus is to everything. Because you see, without conversion to him, we can't be converted to one another. Unless our hearts are turned to him, our hearts will be embittered towards one another. And I think it's tragic that we live at a time where the poison of resentment is an epidemic. And yet we're called to be a certain kind of people. We're called to be a people who, through the midst of all of this pain, are seeking to work towards those men and women who desire reconciliation. Remember I said at the beginning that the title of this homily is The Tender-Hearted. Now listen to what St. Paul, the great apostle, says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, and all malice. What are those vices? They're the effects of resentment. That's what happens. But listen to what he then says next. We're to get rid of all of these, and then this is so beautiful, he says, be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. The heart of God from the beginning of human history has cried out for people who have tender hearts, who have hearts like the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. May we, beloved brothers and sisters, identify resentment in our own hearts and say, there is no room for it, because that poison is killing me. And may we, by the grace of Jesus, say, Jesus, give me your heart. Help me to hear the conversion call of John the Baptist, the great Elijah, so that my heart can be healed, so that I will live my life in such a way that I will embody kindness in my words and in my actions. I will seek to always forgive, because I am indebted so profoundly to the one who has forgiven me, our Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I'd like to read today's collect again in light of what I have just shared. Listen to these beautiful words that we had at the beginning of today's Mass. May the splendor of your glory dawn in our hearts. In our hearts, right? That his glory will dawn in our hearts, we pray, Almighty God. This is lovely. That all the shadows of the night may be scattered. All resentment, all bitterness, all malice, all wrangling, all clamor. That's the darkness. And it will be scattered. And we may be shown to be children of the light by the advent of your only begotten Son. We can only be children of the light because we are sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. May we allow the dawn of glory shine in our hearts this day. And may our lives embody the character of the one who, like John the Baptist, says, here is Jesus. Look to him.